Before I begin, just a personal word. I spent the last 10 or 12 days taking some time off. Someone asked me this morning as I came in, did you have a good time? And I said, I'm not real sure about that. I did some study. We stayed home most of the time. Took a little trip to Lakeland. That was about it. But the first week I was off, I ended up having to deal with a fractured, infected tooth that had been a problem for some years. And finally, the doctor said, you have to deal with this tooth and get it out. And that's not a lot of fun to have a tooth extracted. But so then this past week, I ended up with a summer cold. I hadn't had a cold in several years, 5 or 6 years. And took several COVID tests, no COVID, just a bad cold, no fever, just aches. And I think I'm about over all of that. So it's good to be back and not having dental surgery or colds. Pray you're well. This morning we continue in a mission statement series. I've called it The Invitation of Christ, and the sermon today is simply one word, the word go. Our scripture reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm reading verses 19 to 23. This is the Apostle Paul writing here to the Christians in Corinth, telling them about the efforts he will go to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Verse 19, for though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that I might, by any means, save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, the good news, so that I may share in its blessings. Let us pray as we come to God's word this morning. O Lord and our God, we come to you this morning in our prayers, asking that you would speak to us, each one of us, at our point of need. And we know that you'll do just that. In Christ's name, amen. Well, over the last several weeks of July, when I was beginning this series on the church's mission statement, I emphasize, as you may recall in those first two sermons, the three commandments of Jesus. In Jesus' early ministry, you will remember that he said, come follow me. And he invited the little children, the loners, the losers, the left out ones I mentioned, and of course those 12 disciples. He invited all that he met to come and follow him. That was his first commandment, to come. Then those who followed Jesus, he said to them, grow. In other words, learn of me. And his followers matured in wisdom over the 3 years that they heard Jesus' teachings, and they went on to do many, many great things for the good news of the gospel. And finally, at the end of Jesus' ministry, the risen Lord gave a third commandment, come, grow. And the risen Lord said to his disciples, go. Go into all the world, he said, and preach and teach and heal in my name. And here then are the three great movements of faith, three great commands of Jesus, to come, to grow, and to go. And if this is what Jesus is about, then today this is what the church is called to be about as well. It helps you, in a nutshell, to understand the purpose of the church, to help people to come and follow Christ, to learn of him, to grow in him, and to go in his name. Come, grow, and go. And this morning, we have reached the third act, the third command in this act, this drama of faith, to go. In the Gospel of that Matthew, remember, Jesus takes his disciples up to a tall mountain, and our risen Lord tells them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And this has been called the Great Commission. And it's a great commission to us even today to still go into all the world. And after coming to Jesus and growing in him, which involves learning and education for adults and children, which we are committed to do here as a church, it is then we are called, you see, to go out to a community and to a world in need. After we learn and grow, we are to go. And by the way, I thought about this the other day. Here at Northwood, if you exit out the center back door, you walk under the cross of Christ. As you leave any door, if you look to the back, you see the cross of Christ. And so as we go from here, we in essence are reminded by that cross in the rear of the church to take up our cross and also follow him. Even the word mission says it. On this Bethel Shoe Sunday, mission says it all. It comes from the Latin language, which means sent. Mission means sent. And the same root word is found in the words missile and the word missive. Missive. We are sent beyond this place of worship, this place of education, and this place of fellowship that we enjoy so much. We're sent from here to go in Christ's name, and we're sent by Christ himself. This was our Lord's command of us, to go in his name. I heard of a church some years ago that had in their parking lots, after you went out the doors of the church, they had signs that read, "Mission begins here." And that's so appropriate. That's tremendous. That's very good. Mission begins when you walk out these doors. The unfortunate thing is that many churches are forever getting ready to go in mission, getting ready to do outreach, but never do very much. They may grow in their faith, but instead of sharing their faith, they often become ingrown as congregations. They stay in the Spirit, but they don't reach out to others very well. And this reminds me of the parable of the life-saving station, if I can pronounce it correctly, the life-saving station. It was located on one of our coasts, and this life-saving station was put there to save the lives of those who were shipwrecked in shallow waters during storms. They were put there to save the lives of sailors who floundered there on the beach, having crashed their ships. But as time went on, no lifeboats went out any longer. Instead, what the people did at that life-saving station is they built a bigger lighthouse. They began to hold raffles and have card parties. And they had committee meetings even. They elected officers for that life-saving station. They told thrilling stories about how their forebears had gone out and actually rescued people so many years ago and saved lives of people who were drowning in the ocean. But in modern times, they could hear the cries sometimes of people that needed help. But as time went on, they would hear those cries less and less. They were so preoccupied with themselves at that life-saving station. The members of that life-saving station, they never took to the seas again, but they spent their time maintaining their organization. And meanwhile, people out in the seas needed help. And this is what can happen to any organization. It can happen to the church, and it's terrible when that happens. It was William Temple, the once Archbishop of Canterbury, a renowned theologian who wrote these words, and they're some of my favorite words, and I quote, he said, "The church is the only society in the world whose chief purpose is to serve those who for the most part are not her members," end quote. Think about that. The purpose of Northwood Presbyterian Church is to serve those outside of these walls. You and I are called, you see, to make a difference. We're called to make a difference in this community and this world in which we live. Wynn Arnn. He's a researcher who does a lot of interviews and surveys in churches. And he did a survey not long ago of 1,000 congregations. And this is what he asked them. Why does your church exist? And 89% of those surveyed said, the church's purpose is to take care of my family and my needs. For them, those who responded that way, the purpose of the church was to keep the sheep comfortable who were already in the fold. But no, you see, the mission of the church is to go beyond those who are in the fold. It's Jesus' command to go. The Apostle Paul wrote in our reading this morning from 1 Corinthians some very important words. He wrote that everything he did was aimed at winning as many people as possible to the good news of Jesus Christ. He was saying, I will adapt my behavior in any way that I need to do, but I will not adapt my message. The message stayed the same. But he was seeking as best as he could do in his day and time to overcome the cultural and ethical divisions that divided people in order to bring people of all sorts into one community of faith. That's what he's saying in these words this morning. And so let me ask you, what can you do? What can you do if it is time not only to come to Jesus and to grow in him, but also go for him? What can you do? What can we do? Well, first this morning, let me suggest to you, in your mind's eye, as you go from here this morning, remember that you are called to care as much for those out there as you do for those in here. And if we truly believe that Christ calls us to serve our community and our world, then it will involve our personal time and our personal budgets as well. You see, our vision for the future should always match that of Jesus' commands, to invite people to come to him, to grow in him, and to go in his name. Don't forget the third act. Many people forget the third part. Someone has said it this way: the church exists for mission as fire exists for burning. Mission, you see, mission is at the very heart of what we do and who we are. That's why we did the Clothes for Kids in July. It's why we do the Shoe Sunday for the migrant workers here this month. They've had a very difficult time this summer. They've had a very rough summer. I can't imagine working out in the fields in all this heat. But nevertheless, we seek to do things for others. And so there are many great things that are being done by people all the time. And oftentimes we forget that. I noted this morning in the paper that Bob Barker died yesterday at 99 years of age. I grew up as our family would watch that To Tell the Truth on television. And I remember over the years he became a great advocate for animal rights. He made a difference. He made a difference. Oftentimes we're so critical of celebrities, but there are many who are doing a great job. I always find myself inspired by Michael J. Fox, as he is such an advocate for those struggling with Parkinson's. But there's so many that do good. There's so many great things that people are doing, and we should remember that. Third, then, bring faith and hope. Bring faith and hope to whatever you are doing in your mission to the community. Why? Why bring faith and hope? Because serving the needs of the community, serving the needs of others, the needs are so great. And oftentimes the need is so great that it can be discouraging. And you think, what difference am I making? Always bring faith and hope to what you're doing. A few years ago, I was speaking to a woman here at the church, and she was a retired social worker. She had worked all through the Southeast of the United States. And she said to me with some resignation during our conversation, she said, I often saw little results from all the efforts of our staff and all that we did. And she said, I remember a young girl that I was helping. She had a great future, and then she got into trouble. And there was another generation, I thought, starting on welfare. One mistake or another, she would see time and time again, and that cycle and the generations would continue. Well, to this, remember what the Christian brings to human service and in helping others in need. We bring hope and we bring faith. It is not a faith that is faith in ourselves. That's the mistake. It's not faith in ourselves and not it's not faith in those we're seeking to help, but rather it's faith in God who will somehow seek to finish what we have started. The story is told of a news reporter who once commented to Mother Teresa. He said, your sisters of charity are touching just a few of the thousands and thousands who were sick. And those that you help, they shortly after, many times, they die. And Mother Teresa said in response, we are not called to be successful. We are called, she said, to be faithful. Indeed. Indeed. Robert Seltzer, and I close with this, he is a surgeon who had an extraordinary gift of writing. And in his beloved book entitled Mortal Lessons, Notes on the Art of Surgery, he describes a story in his book entitled The Kiss Still Works. It's a well-known story. I have never used it, but I want to share it with you this morning. He writes, I stand by the bed where a young woman lies, her face post-operative, her mouth twisted in palsy, almost clownish. A tiny twig of the facial nerve, one of the muscles in her mouth, it was severed during surgery. She will be thus from now on. The surgeon had followed with religious fervor the curve of the flesh of her face, I promise you that. Nevertheless, to remove the tumor in her cheek, I had to cut the little nerve. Her young husband is in the room. He stands on the opposite side of the bed, and together they seem to dwell in the evening lamplight, isolated from me, but private. Who are they, I ask myself, he and this awkward mouth I have made, who gaze at each other and touch each other so kind and generously? The young woman speaks to me. Will my mouth always be like this, she asks. Yes, I say it will. It is because the nerve was cut. She nods and is silent. But the young man smiles. I like it, he said. It's kind of cute. And all at once, said the doctor, I know who he is. I understand, and I lower my gaze. One is not bold in an encounter with a god. Unmindful, he bends to kiss her crooked mouth. And I am so close, I can see how he twists his own lips to accommodate hers, to show her that their kiss still works. Friends, the Church of Jesus Christ, in its passion for mission, kisses the world, twisting its lips to accommodate the needy in every generation. And this is what Christ calls us to do. And so I encourage you to hear his call today, because I think it's time for all of us to go. Let's pray. Oh God, our Father, we thank you for the teachings of Jesus Christ and for his three commands to us to come, to grow, and to go. Help us to balance our lives and to be a part of your mission, remembering these three things. For it's in Christ's name that we ask it. Amen.